Thank you very much. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Without a doubt, happy Sabbath. It is, without a doubt, good to be here. As Mr. Knudsen was saying, that we kept the feast with them last year in Newfoundland. I don't know where my brain was at for about 6 months. I kept telling everybody we were in Nova Scotia. And my wife would say, well, I don't know. We were in Newfoundland. I don't know where you were at. So anyway, that was a little running joke that she and I kept having. But when Monty invited us to come to Phoenix, I just said, are you sure? He said, you bet, Ralph. They're a very converted congregation, and they'll even let someone from Oklahoma speak to them. So, but you know, I'm not an Okie by birth. I'm a Texican, so please don't hold that against me, please. And one of the things, just right off the bat, I would like to thank Mr. McGee very, very deeply for the passion of his message. You know, it's one thing to watch someone come up and give a message, and you look at the eyes, and you see the body language, and you see the gestures, and you hear the voice, and deeply, deeply appreciate the passion, the zeal that you have for God's house. Thank you so very, very much for giving my sermon. And so, y'all have a good nod. But I just still marvel. I will marvel as long as I'm in this physical body that we speakers, we're guided and exhorted and lovingly admonished to pray for the men speaking. And asking God to inspire, direct. And I don't know how many times I've seen this happen where a gentleman will give up and give a sermonette, or the first gentleman gets up to give the first split, and it ties right in with the second message. I witnessed that miracle numerous times, and so it is a time to rejoice. Thank you so very, very deeply for your submission to the great God, because I've got a question for all of you. You've heard this question before, but I always like to ask it, whether it's at the weekly feast day of the Sabbath or if it's any one of God's holy days. Why are you here? Why are you here? It's been asked a lot. It has been asked a lot throughout the many years that a person is involved in this way of life. Different feasts, no matter where you travel, whether it's on the weekly Sabbath or on any one of the holy days, this is asked, and I love it because it makes us deeply, deeply inspect ourselves, examine ourselves. Well, the most simple of responses is that God has called me to be here. I like to apply that to everyone. God has called me to be here. One of the questions I've always had, I say always, not always. I wasn't born and raised in the church. I'm a first-generation Christian, and born and raised in Texas. But when God did call me, not too long after that, another little simple thought came to my mind. Well, how long were you watching me? You know, God, I mean, He has a plan. He plans His work and He works His plan. There's no confusion with God. I personally believe, you know, when you stop and go through numerous places in the Bible where God says that He knew some of His servants while they were in the womb of their mommies. Okay? David expresses that. I believe Ezekiel expressed that and others. But I wondered, of all the billions and billions and billions of people, how long did God look at me before He suddenly went, you, that's right, you Texican, I I want you. And you know, I reflect back as how many times did God intervene in my life so that someday I could answer His calling. If it hadn't been for my aunt, I probably would not be here. I made a practice of trying to drown once a summer when I was slowly but surely learning how, you know, us Texicans learn things slow. And so, I mean, seriously, she saved my life numerous times from drowning. And when she's resurrected, I'll thank her again. Horrible car wreck when I was in the sixth grade. My mother fell asleep at the wheel in the middle of Texas, and we went off a cliff and rolled down that, off the side of that cliff, and it just wasn't a hill. I mean, it was a cliff. And I got thrown out of the car, and none of us in that car were injured. And how about that? How about Southeast Asia? Just wondered. And then in 1981, God decided to say, okay, it's time for you to start doing something. The one and only true God has reached out and said to you, come to me. I have something for you. And brethren, in numerous messages, I like to remind folks about quite possibly the most commonly referred to verse in the Bible. You're probably already getting it in your mind right now, John 3:16, where God so loved the world. But I'd like to take a little bit of license here. And I don't think it's wrong to do this. And if you need to go to John 3:16, go ahead. But where it says, for God so loved the world, I want you to do something. I want you to take that, those two words, the world, I want you to take that out. I want you to put your name there. For God so loved Ralph Redline that he gave his only begotten son, that Ralph Redline would believe in him and that he would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn Ralph Redline, but so that Ralph Redline would be saved through him. Make it personal, brethren. Make it personal. I appreciate so deeply the thoughts and the comments that were made earlier today in the first message. God wants to have the most intimate relationships with those whom he's calling. The great sovereign ruler of the universe wants to know more about you. Brethren, we're here in a stark contrast to the world outside. You know, it seems like with every passing year, more and more, you just never dreamt that you would see silliness and ineptness and incompetence come to the magnitude that we are witnessing at this very day. When humanity decides to divorce themselves from the influence of God, the depth of what humanity will stoop to is just staggering. But you know, something must happen to us before we can truly and thoroughly engage what God has called us to be engaged in. We are to be engaged in the way of peace. We are to be engaged in the way of peace. We must be immersed in a miracle, because you're living a miracle. If God is working directly with you, this is a miracle. He's changing you, and it takes God's power to do that. An incredible miracle. We must be immersed in this miracle and engaged in the miracle and devoted to the miracle of being healed. Why are you here? You are here to be healed. That's why you're here, to be healed. Go to Matthew 13, please. Book of Matthew, chapter 13. Starting in verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear, shall not understand, seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I shall, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." What a miracle. You're in this group. And with the zeal that was spoken of and with and by in the first message, cherish it. Cherish it. Because you're being healed by the Almighty God. The two phrases within these most important scriptures that we just read, "because it has been given to you," it has been given to you. And then in verse 15, "lest they should understand with their hearts and turn that I should heal them." The purpose of this message today is to address the need of our personal healing to take place, and become healers as well during our preparation for the return of our Savior. Brethren, we're not only to be healed, we're to become healers also. You can just write this in your notes. This is a memory scripture, James 1, verse 16. It reveals to us that God is the giver of every precious gift, come down from the Father of light. Appreciate another thing that was spoken of earlier, that a mirror cannot reflect in darkness. I never thought of that. That's right. We are children of light, as Ephesians speaks about, Ephesians 5, in other places. Those people whom God the Father is calling have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. It is the absolute truth. It's not just truth, it is absolute truth. We live in a day and age where there is such a conflict with that. The world hates that. Satan hates that. He promotes it through evolution. Your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, no matter what standard or what level of education they're involved in, they're being bombarded with the fact that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Satan hates absolute truth because it reveals who he is and it reveals his destiny. And he wants to take as many with him as he possibly can. At the beginning of Christ's ministry on this earth, he stated a message to the people in a synagogue in the town of Nazareth where he grew up. These people knew him. He had just been baptized. He had just gone through the greatest spiritual battle that he had ever been involved with. Probably the greatest spiritual battle that we cannot cry Abba Father enough for strengthening our Lord and Savior through that time period. He didn't take Satan for granted. He didn't take him lightly. He knew Satan. He knew Satan. And he knew Satan. And so then in Luke 4, you're familiar with this, but let's go back and review what Jesus Christ said and dealt with after he had been, after he successfully addressed Satan. Luke 4, starting in verse 14. The beginning of Christ's ministry. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And in verse 21, he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your presence, in your hearing." Brethren, the Son of the living God is continuing to do this today. One of the great miracles that we of God's family have, the priceless privilege to know and understand and experience that God is personally engaging within us on each of his Sabbaths and on each of his holy days, on each of his holy festivals. In Exodus 31, Ezekiel 20, and John 14, these are very clear about this. It is the most intimate of relationships that God desires to have with us. I'd like you to go to 1 John 1. 1 of the letters from the Apostle John. 1 John 1, we'll begin reading in verse 1. First John 1, 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Brethren, our relationship is with God the Father. Our relationship is with Jesus Christ. They are one. Our relationship is with them, that our joy might be full. We are here to be healed. Brethren, this healing is taking place on the high plane of God. The high plane of God. God does not change. He does not move. His standards are the highest. They have not changed. They have not drifted down to be compliant with the society and the culture of the world around us. They're still at the high plane that they have always been. And it is where we must be dwelling. We receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It enables us to replace the mind of man with the mind of Christ as He lives within us. We also engage in a heart transplant. It's one of the transplants that removes one of stone and is replaced with one of flesh. To be tender, to be compassionate, and once again, to respect what was said earlier today, to be merciful. To be merciful. Ezekiel 36 reflects upon a precious message to Israel and their future. But I believe it's also for us today. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. Because, brethren, one of the things that we need to realize is today the church is referred to as the Israel of God. Galatians 6, we'll go to there in just a moment. But right off the bat, let's go to Ezekiel 36, this beautiful statement that is made in verse 26. Because this occurs to somebody that God is calling, God is working with, and suddenly we repent. We're led to repentance by God's goodness. We repent. We are baptized. We have the hands of God's ministry laid upon us. We receive God's Holy Spirit. And then in verse 26 it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. A tender, sensitive, and merciful heart. And as I mentioned earlier, let's go on to Galatians 6, please. And cherish something that God inspired Paul to write, not only to the brethren in Galatia, but also to us today. Galatians 6, and starting in verse 7. And we have already addressed that today. Let's review it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And jump over here to verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, the standards of God, the canonized holy scriptures and standards of God that have not changed, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. We are the Israel of God, the Church of the Living God. Romans 2 reflects that we are receiving the circumcised heart of Judah. I thought it's interesting that Paul referred to this as that we are Jews inwardly because we have a circumcised heart to receive the praises of God. And we are to give praises as well, to praise God, to praise His Son, to praise each other. This is a major health issue, brethren. It affects every true Christian. It is a spiritual health issue that we cannot be neglecting or taking lightly. Brethren, you are looking and maybe hearing the voice of one of the most blessed human beings that's ever lived. I firmly believe it. I have the wonderful and most rewarding experience of being a physical therapist. I work in the home health care field. I've been doing it as a physical therapist for over 20 years. I've been in the home health care field for about 17. To go into folks' homes, in its reality, It's not in a hospital. It's not in a clinic. I've gotten into some interesting discussions with people when I look at folks and say, well, a hospital, that's Disneyland. Because everything's done for you. I mean, everything's ABC and everything's on schedule. Everything's on frequency. You go into someone's home, you're in the grassroots. You walk into their home. They invite you into their home. You see things as they are. You see reality. I have witnessed a phenomenon within America that has been growing in intensity over the past 50 to 75 years. It's appalling, and it's the tragedy of autoimmune diseases. It is something that medical science cannot answer as to why is the human body fighting against itself. Why? They just do not know the full and complete answer. Did you know there are over 80 confirmed diagnoses within the pandemic of autoimmune diseases against the human body? It happens to young, it happens to old, it happens to men, it happens to women. And there's no apparent cause, and there's no apparent preventive measure against it. Mankind is helpless. The God whom we worship is not. God desires to fill His people with a hope that is beyond the understanding of the natural person. Praise God for that incredible hope. Praise God. Can't praise Him enough. Every breath we take that He gives to us, thank Him. He may not heal us now. We may have been anointed and done so perfectly by the Scriptures. And then we ask that incredible question, how long, Lord? And we weep with those who weep. I'd like you to go to Exodus 15, because we're going to look at a name, a beautiful name of God. The 15th chapter in the book of Exodus, starting in verse 24. Tell you what, let's start in 23. I apologize for messing up your notes. I pray for your mercy, without a doubt. Verse 23, now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses again, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. And here's one of his names. For I, the Lord who heals you. I think that is such one of the most beautiful names of the great God. He has many names. Because, brethren, we are here to be healed. And it takes a lifetime of conversion, to be changed from that carnal Ralph Redline to become a person of God, to become the love that God is, to become the mercy that God is, to be prepared to receive His Son and to be received by His Son in that time. The word Lord is Jehovah, as it is commonly believed. It is expressed today by many. The word heal means to make whole. Our Lord and Savior is expressing this same message, and we're speaking today of spiritual healing. We may not be healed physically from one of these incredible autoimmune diseases that are plaguing, well, this country for sure. We're keeping the festivals of God, and we're currently at the threshold of the Feast of Tabernacles, this precious time that reveals 1,000 years devoted to the healing of mankind that will still be alive at that age in the healing of the earth. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we're being offered that incredible opportunity to be prepared for that. We'll be there, the ground floor, that entrance of God's kingdom upon this earth, led by our Savior and King Jesus Christ. But before we can be there and take part in this incredible time as spirit beings and members of God's family, we must be totally committed, convicted, and courageously devoted to being healed. And brethren, that is not easy. Brethren, I earlier described a phenomenon known to physical humanity as autoimmune diseases. What is another name for the Church of God? The body of Christ. Is there a spiritual autoimmune disease afflicting the body of Christ? And without a doubt, God knows those who are His. But tragically, since I've been in the church, tragically, the attacks upon the church have been great. Spiritual autoimmune disease. The body of Christ fighting against itself. And it started from the very first century of the church. Paul dealt with it to the Corinthians. You're familiar with these verses. I'll just go ahead and read them. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 11. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brothers, by those of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. But I say this, that every one of you says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Well, that question's asked today. Is he? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? One of the things that I deal with as a physical therapist, I know a lot of people look at physical therapy and they just think about, well, that person's supposed to come in and exercise me, stretch me, give me pain. If you've ever had PT, pain and torture, you know, physical therapy. You know, I walked into a lady's room one time, she's 90 plus years old, fallen, busted her hip, but she was in such good physical condition, they decided to go ahead and repair the hip. So I walked into her room and she had a boatload of brethren or her family there. And she looked at me and she goes, oh, it's you, my therapist. And all of her kids just, Mom. So, therapist. But brethren, I deal with folks that are suffering from diabetes mellitus. It's one of the worst autoimmune diseases that mankind will ever know because it slowly kills you. I call it the slow killer. If you don't handle it properly, if you don't take care of it. Because what is so incredibly amazing phenomenon that occurs to someone that does not control their diabetes. See, a diabetes affects every cell of the human body. Every cell of the human body. whether it's a little cell at the end of your little pinky here or the cell at the end of your great toe. But it also affects the brain. And what is a phenomenon that they're becoming more and more aware of is diabetic dementia. And people will think they are doing the right thing, and they are not. And they'll get themselves in trouble like you wouldn't believe. And they will support what's killing them. The way they eat and the way they live their lives. In no way, shape, or form am I meaning to offend anyone but by describing diabetes mellitus and the influence on your body. Because it is a pandemic in this country today. But as I observe the history of the church, sometimes it makes me wonder, has the church been hit with spiritual diabetes mellitus? And to see some of the tragic decisions that people will make in their lives, in their spiritual lives. Only God can lead and guide us by His goodness towards the repentance that glorifies Him to begin an incredible healing. It begins with the person in the mirror. Thank you very much. I can do nothing. I can just be a good example. At least try to be a good example. Not in vanity or pride, but to hope and pray that God will use me as a tool to benefit the lives of somebody else. And constantly thank Him for the priceless opportunities and blessings that I have every day to live and to seek His kingdom and to dwell with His precious people and to keep His weekly feast and to keep His spring feast, to keep His fall feasts, and to do it with every year, running this incredible race, fighting this incredible fight. And we think we have it rough now. Brethren, we're running with foot soldiers. There's going to come a time when we have to run with horses. I must repent on a daily basis. I must ask God to forgive me my sins. I must ask God to forgive me, and then I must go to my brother or my sister that I maybe think I may have offended them, but I'm not sure, but I need to go to them anyway. I must not throw caution to the wind. I must apologize to this person or persons I have offended. I must ask them to forgive me. I must be forgiven. It is one of the most profound levels of judgment against us, towards us, for us. Christ said if we don't forgive somebody, then we've got a major problem in our lives. Our growth will be stunted. Our healing will be stunted. I must reconcile with this brother and sister. Brethren, I personally believe that this is one of the greatest tests that the Church of God is going through today. Reconciliation. To prepare. To be a person that wants to heal other people. And then one of the toughest things you have to do, along with everything I just said before, is that you have got to get past the past. You've got to get past the past. Let's go to Psalm 103. The 103rd Psalm, please. Beautiful statement here about how loving our great God is. Psalm 103, starting in verse 6. Jumping in the middle of a thought here. Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Getting past the past. Brethren, when I first came into the Church of God, I don't think I'd been in the church a year. I had been befriended by a wonderful family. Suddenly I at services and saw this young lady, member of this family. She was pretty upset. And she didn't share with me all the details. But apparently she had had a confrontation with somebody in the congregation. And she was very upset. And she said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, "Ralph, I can forgive that person, but I will never forget it." Wow. Bam. Punched me right in the nose. I'd only been a babe in Christ, but it still sounded so uncomfortable. And as time has gone on, I've come to a deeper understanding as why we must forgive, forget, get past the past. God the Father and our Lord and Savior are the only physicians. They are the only physicians that can heal us from this incredible immune disease, autoimmune disease. It's going to happen. We're going to be healed. If we want it, if we desire it, we know we need it. One of God's greatest and highest of priorities is for the healing of His church. Go back and later on read all those incredible letters of Revelation 2 and 3. Great challenges even in those letters of those congregations during that time period that is experienced there. I'm just talking about a unique time period, even though those eras of the church have continued on. But look at the challenges that went through there. Look at the incredible experiences that the Laodiceans went through and are going through today. Because that last message that is expressed in Revelation 3 about the Laodiceans, let me heal you. You have got to be healed. I want you in my kingdom. I want you. But I will admonish you. I'll get you. But it's because my motives are perfectly loving. 1 Corinthians 13. Love chapter? You bet it is. But it is the motivation chapter. All of God's motives are love. Yes, I will spank you, Ralph Redline. I will get your attention. And He has. Yes, sir, I understand. Thank you for giving me that understanding. And it still happens today. Revelation 19, please. You're familiar with the scripture that we're going to. Revelation 19. I just love this. I just love it. Revelation 19, starting in verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down, worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants and those who fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude of the sound of many waters. I'm going to stop right there because I want to kind of challenge you. If you, next time you're at a large feast site and it's about maybe 10 or 15 minutes before the service, you can't do this all at once, but just sneak up to the stage and kind of just listen to all of the fellowship that's going on. You will be stunned that it sounds like white water, the flowing of water. First time I witnessed it, it was years ago, and I keep proving it every year whenever we go to a pretty large feast site. Is all the brethren talking and chatting and visiting, and all of a sudden you hear this incredible statement in verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters. Prove it for yourself. And as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. His wife has made herself ready. His wife has done what she's had to do to be healed. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The life of conversion and that beautiful healing, it's a transition within the life of one that is called by God and worked patiently yet steadily with by the Almighty God to bring peace into their lives. You know, in Philippians, where it states, it just kind of came to my mind just right quick. I believe it's in Philippians 4 where it says, be anxious for nothing, but leave all your anxiety before the throne of God and allow the peace of Jesus Christ to rule in your heart. In conclusion, let's go to Matthew 5. There's this incredible beginning chapter of what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. I know you're familiar with this set of scriptures, but here you're going to look at perfect healing. And seeing the multitudes, verse 1, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. 7 steps to becoming a peacemaker. 7 steps to be healed in a relationship with somebody that you need to reconcile with. And all these different groups that are scattered about the earth, someday that reconciliation will occur. As a physical therapist, I've seen no two humans heal at the same rate. Same way with a Christian. None of us are converted at the same rate. But God has his eye on you individually, independently. God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you. Put your name there. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be perfectly healed. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you. May God bless your healing. Have a great Feast of Tabernacles.